You find yourself out walking in the rain. The wind is howling like a runaway train. A voice calls out, a raspy refrain. Answer my riddles or ye will go insane. Ahead on the path is a dark domain. A man stands in front dressed in rags and chains. He says, come inside and I'll ruin your brain. Welcome to Bonjo's House of Pain.
Hello and welcome to Bonjo's House of Pain.
Spooky.
And today, although of course you've entered the House of Pain, we're actually going on a little excursion, aren't we? We're getting the Bonjo's House of Pain bus, and we're going to the Bonjo's House of Pain pub.
Is it a pub and diner?
Or is it a pub and diner?
And pain garden?
What's the, it's got some lovely little pub and pain features, hasn't it? It's got one of the only face-mounted dartboards in a pub. So you can experience...
arse snooker.
It's got arse
snooker. Every pocket is the special prison pocket of a patron.
That's right. It's got German billiards, which is just a man dressed as Goebbels hurling snooker balls at your head. Isn't it? It's a bit...
It's got no bogs. No bogs at all. That's a subtler means of brain pain.
It's got a special feature, hasn't it? Which is whatever IPA, lager, or stout, or bitter you order, it's always, oh, sorry, sir, I'm afraid it's just run out. But don't worry. No, don't order another one. Don't worry. I'll sort it out.
Yeah.
Don't you hate it when they do that?
And they've gone.
Don't sort it out. I don't care. It's just a kind of poisonous medieval kind of bilge. Anyway, whatever it is.
I'll have one of the other bilges.
I'll just have another bilge. I'll just have the quickest bilge so I can get this over with.
Give me the Ruddles. I want the Ruddles.
I'll have the Ruddles.
Now, in this pub, what happens is whatever you ask for, so if you say, I'd like a glass of house wine, please, they say, is Pepsi okay?
Yeah. Or another. Sometimes they've got a few little cheeky lines. They've got a few options they can do, haven't they? They can also go, oh, would you prefer a Coke Zero? And then you go, yeah, that's fine. And then they go, yeah, but for us that means a zero amount of Coke. So you've got no Coke at all. But you can use this voucher and redeem it in the German billiards room.
Now we've added German Shepherd.
That's a German Shepherd who's literally never been allowed to eat a sausage in his life. So when you walk in wearing this sausage hauberk.
What's a hauberk?
It's
I thought that was a weird spear. Or is it a special war hat?
That's a halberd.
Halberd.
Isn't it some sort of medieval knight's kind of like... It's a kind of chain... A hauberk, it's a long coat of mail armour.
In this case,
chainmail armor.
In this case, made of black sausage.
Made exclusively of black Bavarian blood sausage. So that German Shepherd's going to fucking go for it. You'll actually welcome the snooker balls to your face. By the time that German Shepherd's half done with your hauberk. Yeah, so that's the kind of vibe, isn't it?
Mm. It is that kind of vibe. So this is basically going to be a few weeks ago. I put out a call on our Patreon for people to send in their favourite pub quiz questions.
Nice.
And so I've got a selection of them, and that will be the pub quiz. It's fair to say that people took the assignment, not necessarily in the way I'd imagined.
Okay.
So they somehow thought they should send in the hardest possible questions, I think.
Right. I see. Okay.
So what I've had to do is like pick out the ones that I think are gettable, because literally I would say... 80% of them are just kind of entirely impossible.
Are they championship level? We've probably got some pro quizzes on the books. We've got a good friend of mine who listens that you have met a couple of times, Matt.
Yeah, Matt.
I would imagine maybe there's some other similar level high end quizzes knocking about. We're not at that level.
Yes, because I think what I have, because people often get these things mixed up, what I have is a deep, deep, deep level of sort of empathetic and sort of. In a form of sort of poetic intelligence, I would say. Which is very, very strong, very, very powerful. But it doesn't necessarily mean I specifically remember certain facts, authors, concepts, times of day, social norms. Do you know what I mean?
Simple maths.
A lot of simple maths will go over my head.
It's not really book smarts or street smarts.
No.
What is it? Sort of lunch smarts?
It's sort of lunch smarts. It's North London lunch smarts.
Yeah. Okay.
is what I sort of specialize in. Yeah. But remember, yeah, true intelligence is not as straightforward as that a lot of the time, actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, for example, my pub quiz history, I don't know what yours is like, Mike, is quite weak.
Very poor.
Really weak. And quite often.
No specialist round.
No specialist round.
There's no round where people go, oh, Mike, bro. Do you know what I mean? No one's stopping me going to the loo just before the, you know, the history or the sports or the music or, I mean, name a category. It's not happening.
Yeah. Because, what I've got is. It's a form of charm, isn't it? I can talk to anyone, and I mean anyone, for 20 to 35 seconds. Anyone.
You will talk to anyone.
I will.
Yeah.
But again, it's sort of soft. It's kind of soft power, isn't it, in intelligence terms? I think that's what...
You'd make a great diplomat.
I'd make a great diplomat, assuming that I was incredibly well...
Well, you'd offer to fund a choir.
I would offer to fund a choir.
Yeah.
What, if I was
in a kind of soft power projection way, Mike.
Yeah,
exactly.
Sort of British Council style.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe commission a tapestry of some sort.
I could commission tapestries, wall art.
Not many people are ready for that in a first interaction, are they? In the first 30 seconds of
the time. Hello, my name is Henry. Please create an 80 meter long tapestry celebrating the potteries of Stoke-on-Trent.
And this is my first day as ambassador to Tajikistan. Yeah. And also, I'd like to announce, as a soft power, as a way of opening connections between our two countries, free rhubarb crumble in all schools, all day, every day, starting now. So that's rivers of crumble. That's what we're looking for. rivers of hot crumble. Yeah, so big picture stuff, yes. Vision, yes.
Mm. Yeah.
Detail,
Yeah, Henry, where are we going to get enough rhubarb to do that? We don't even grow rhubarb here in Tajikistan. Yeah. It doesn't grow.
Where do you grow rhubarb? What is rhubarb, actually? How do you make custard? How do you spell custard?
Well, I'm pretty sure rhubarb is you can talk to one of my assistants, he'll brief you, but I'm pretty sure it's a form of long extruded tomato, isn't it?
It's a cross between a tomato and a walking stick.
That's right.
It's a kind of angry celery.
It's a presumably venomous territorial celery.
Which is why it's only safe when it's encased in hot, hot crumble. Crumble, of course, is a form of stale but very, very sweet bread that has collapsed.
/ road surface.
It's a form of edible gravel.
Okay, so your pub quiz, I was going to ask you this, your kind of pub quiz history. So how often have you been to a pub quiz, Henry? Or is it not something that you would ever do?
In the same way that if a beaver is sort of run over or partially run over, it won't.
Sorry, can you clarify what makes something fully run over?
I'm going to change my. I don't like that image. I want to change my image.
Okay.
But, the listeners will have to work out where that was going in their own time.
Answers on postcard.
It'll actually haunt them all the more now. No, I tell you what. If a beaver was to approach a major motorway,
yeah,
it would think, it's too loud, it's too noisy, I don't belong here, I'm going to go back to my...
It's on foot, right?
Back to my river. It's on foot,
yeah.
I'm going to go back to my river and keep building dams. Hmm. That's how I've been around pub quizzes. I've had a few early bad experiences, so I've not gravitated towards them. People haven't invited me back onto their teams.
Yeah.
I also get... to be honest, I find the bit about naming the team so stressful that quite often I'll just leave at that point.
Yeah, okay.
You know, the team naming is...
Yeah, I hate that bit. I just... If I'm at a pub quiz and there's like, we have to come up with a name, I just use our names. Yeah, so me and my friend Tom go quite a lot. We just write Tom and Ben.
Yeah.
But then the trouble with Tom and something like Tom and Ben is people start, in the quizzing world, there'll be people going, what is that a reference to? It's not Bill and Ben. What is that? Where is that from? Is that Thundercats? What is that? And then, you're getting in their head. It's a tactic, is what I'm saying.
That's good.
Turn right. Yeah,
that's true.
So, yeah, Ben, so you're quite a good quizzer, aren't you, Ben? You know your stuff.
I really enjoy a pub quiz, and I think if I'm honest about it, I just associate with people who are really good at it, and so I can be on a winning team.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm good at certain things. I think, you know, so me and my friend Tom do a lot. He's really good at films.
Yeah.
Seemingly knows every film, knows every line of every film.
But the thing is, so what I quickly interject with, I get cinema. he knows about films. You know what I mean? So he knows the facts about the films. Does he understand how you're supposed to feel?
Yeah, okay.
At the end of The Godfather.
Yeah.
Does he understand, you know, what Al Pacino was really trying to do in The Godfather? I've seen other films apart from The Godfather as well.
A Buddha Souffle. You've probably seen that one, haven't you?
A Buddha Souffle.
Yeah.
Seen it. Got it.
Understood what the jump cunts meant.
The jump cunts?
You just jump. Yeah, I understood what the jumped up cunts were. Yeah. I do, what they were up to when they were making that film. Who they were. It's the best description of a French filmmaker I've ever heard. If Jean-Luc Godard wasn't a jumped up cunt, then he was. No, sorry, yeah. Jump cuts. Dollies.
Apologies to our...
to our cunt listeners.
Yeah, we very rarely...
Can we beep those? Can we do some beeping? I think we do some beeping.
We can do some beeping.
We very breached the... That was an excellent little C-bomb.
Yeah, so he's good at film, is he? Cinema?
He's good at film, but he's also good at kind of lateral thinking, any kind of puzzle, anagram, you know, that kind of thing.
Do you get those in? But I don't think I've ever had a pub quiz where there were puzzles or anagrams.
Yeah, we do a specific one where you get like a sheet at the beginning of just all puzzles.
Ah.
Yeah.
And he sort of does those in about 2 seconds, and I just can't. My brain literally just goes quiet, basically.
Okay.
It's interesting. Like, my brain just sort of turns off. I can't think about them.
You see, I like to think I'd be good at those, but I'd rather not find out.
Yeah. Okay.
Just in case I'm not. You know what I mean? That kind of thing.
And then I'm good at, the only thing I'm good at is weirdly sort of geography. Countries, capitals, seas.
You're quite good with modern history, I'd have thought, compared to the average.
Yeah, so sort of history, geography, the humanities, I would say, is my little corner. And I'm pretty good at that. So, yeah. How about you, Mike?
Hopeless. of no use. I haven't done one for years either. And back in the day, I would very much have been like the person getting the drinks, I think.
Right.
Yeah. Mm. Really.
Keep a low profile.
Yeah.
Well, this bodes well. Now, as I was saying, a lot of the questions we're sending were just insanely hard.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we can have fun with those at some point. Look at a few of them.
Well, I've picked one here. There's no chance you get this. And this is not because of who you are. I don't think anyone would get it.
I've never wanted to get anything more.
I know. And I think both Mike and I do have that hubris. I could see it in Mike's eyes. I know I've got it in mine. I can feel it behind my eyes. I can feel it in my eyes.
Hang on.
Which is that feeling of...
What if it turns out I'm actually a genius and I didn't realise all along? Because
but also, this would be absolutely huge. This would be a victory I would have scored over Benjamin that we'll both carry to our dying days. In some sort of odd competition that they've got between me and everyone I know, it's not clear what the stakes are or why it matters. But
or what the prize is.
Or what the prize is.
But I'm interested, because, Mike, you've mentioned your friend Matt, who I've met.
Yeah.
Who is like a sort of UK level, national level quizzer, right?
Yeah.
So I'd be interested to know if he'd get this kind of stuff. I imagine he would. Anyway, here's one of them. This is from Will. Will sent this in. Which popular Christmas carol is often considered heretical for having lyrics that break the Nicene Creed?
It's Christa Berg's Spaceman.
It's not great. Which...
That's not a carol, is it?
It's a pop song. But I wonder if this is gettable using my brilliant soft power intuition.
I mean, I think the first thing I'd want to try and work out is what the Nicene Creed is. I've got no idea.
Yeah, I don't have no idea. So
it was a creed where basically a guy called Ian, who's very, very nice, had some ideas which he laid out through Christianity.
A carol about bad
because he was
Ian's.
Such a nice Ian, people went along with it. He was the first nice Ian. Most Ians, of course, as we all know, are dicks, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay.
Apologies to any Ian listeners, by the way. You're the exception.
Okay, so do we have anything approaching an answer from us?
Which Christmas carol was seen as
which
heretical?
Which popular Christmas carol is often considered heretical for having lyrics that break the Nicene Creed?
Good King Wenceslas, because Stephen was outlawed as a saint. As was any feasting in his name, because Ian's, as we all know, hate Stevens. Ian's and Stevens have been at war for millennia over who is the most middle of the road bloke, haven't they? Is it an Ian or is it a Stephen?
I think that's a good answer. I'm going to go for We Three Kings. Similarly, because it's like that and Wenceslas, they're spin-offs. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, because they're not about, for example, like Jesus and Mary and stuff. It's Yeah, they're like a weird spin-off. You're right.
It's like Marvel Action Universe type stuff.
Yes.
Also, who the hell was King Wenceslas? He's never mentioned outside of that song ever in history.
He was the king of Bohemia, wasn't he?
What, as in the concept? Because I like to think of myself as certainly being quite high-ranking in the royal family of Bohemia.
It's currently. Nation.
No, he was like a sort of Czech king.
Okay, but, was it? All right.
But not contemporaneous with Jesus, I don't think.
No.
So, it's weird that there's a care about him, and also weird that there's a... Well, The Three Ships is about the kings, isn't it?
I've got a feeling...
But when you've got a natty tune, you've got a natty tune. Do you know what I mean? That's what it takes.
But I think it's a lyrics thing, isn't it? Because how many kings have got that Wenceslas? The three... Someone was looking for a solution. Good King John, it was... One day looked out, you know, they would need... That Wenceslas would have been a really good, like, a triple-syllable king. Maybe it was just what they needed for that to work. Yeah. Anyway.
Could have gone for Æthelstan.
Nice.
Good King Æthelstan looked out. Yeah, would have been good.
Anyway, so the answer to that is, it's Hark the Herald Angels Sing, because the line, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, suggests that Jesus isn't really a person, but is just God hidden in human appearance. This idea first originated in an early Christian heresy called Docetism, which was rejected by the church during the first Nicene Council in 325.
Right.
Docetism? Okay.
Docetism.
Is that the crime of being a dosser?
That's one of the core credos of Pacadonia, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. You've got to harness your dosserishness.
Yeah. Doss your way to enlightenment.
Yeah, you doss your way anywhere.
So, literally, I would say 70% of the emails, it's that level of stuff.
Wow. Second, there was a belief that Jesus was pretending to be human by dressing himself in a meat suit. Yes. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. And that was referred to the equivalent of the sort of synod. The cardinals, you know, it went up the ranks to the top court.
I might be wrong. I think the Nicene Council, were they the ones who worked out what went in the Bible? Is that right?
Oh, really?
So they had loads of books, and they said, well, some of them didn't make it into the Bible.
Oh, really? So they're at the beginning. So it's not like interpretation of Bible. It's actually what is. It's actually the original. Oh, I see. Okay, nice.
Because you can get hold of like some of the ones that didn't make it. The Pelican Brief by...
Yeah,
by John Grisham. That didn't make it into the Bible.
Well, Grisham's gospel was completely left out, wasn't it?
It was.
Where Jesus was a... What would he have been?
A hotshot lawyer, probably.
Hotshot lawyer.
So what I've done is I've pulled out some questions I think are more gettable.
Yeah.
And maybe a bit more fun. And let's go for it. Now, in pub quiz style, I want you both to write down your answer.
Okay.
So instead of that, can I just say, just so I'm, in terms of just to get the what the listener needs to be picturing in mind, I'm sat in a little nook in the front room of Bon Jo's. Was it called Pub of Doom?
Pub of Pain, was it?
Pub of Pain. I've just come to the jukebox, and it's just a selection of different types of screaming you can select.
What have you gone for?
So I've selected the scream you do when you realize that. Well, your head is about to come off. Is that one?
Okay.
So you see a very, very, very thin sort of line across your neck, and you realize you've been beheaded with incredibly sharp Valerian steel.
Okay. It's a tight window to scream in as well, isn't it?
It's a really tight scream window. So it's very, very piercing and intense.
Yes. Whereas I've been placed on the shuffleboard, and I am the puck.
Very good.
Oh, that's.
And I imagine you're both drinking a really sort of farty, warm ale.
You know,
that smells like farts, tastes like farts.
Yeah. And it's full, almost to the brim, with bacon frazzles. Which is not helping anyone.
Okay, so, question one. This was sent in by Robert.
Thank you, Robert.
Thanks, Robert.
I'm going to read the names of six of the seven dwarves.
Ooh.
Yeah,
cool. I wanted to name the one I don't name. Who is the seventh dwarf? Yeah. Okay, here we go. Doc. Mm-hmm. Sleepy. Mm-hmm. Dopey. Mm-hmm. Grumpy. Mm-hmm. Happy. Mm-hmm. Sneezy. Mm-hmm. And who?
Okay.
So we've got Doc, Sleepy, Dopey, Grumpy, Happy, Sneezy, and who?
Doc, Sleepy, Dopey, Grumpy, Happy, Sneezy.
Happy, I've written my answer.
And Hansy.
The cancelled dwarf.
The cancelled dwarf. Doc, Sleepy, Dopey. So what are the kinds of personality types are there? Sleepy and Dopey are quite similar, aren't they?
That's a good point.
Yeah. Although I remember Dopey's face quite vividly.
Dopey, I think they mean as in he's thick as two short planks, really.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Which you can't say anymore. apparently that new film was absolutely awful, wasn't it?
They've done it again.
They've recently Snow White. Done a Snow White, haven't they? Live action recently.
It was a huge disaster because of various things, wasn't it? Apparently, I don't know if it was terrible, but it had such an ill-fated release, I think.
Uh-huh. I've also heard that they've stopped all live action remakes of films now based on how unsuccessful it's been.
Really?
Okay, Ben, pause. This has been a nice chat. But also, I just wanted to do a quick reveal. I didn't mean any of that. I couldn't give a toss. I was just demonstrating my soft power ability. Think of yourself. You're a high-ranking minister in the Tajikistan government.
Yes.
I'm the ambassador. You've had a great chat, haven't you? You were enjoying that. I was coaxing you out of your shell. We were sharing information.
Turns out the Tajik finance minister knows a lot about Disney.
Turns out he does. So will you or will you not invest in my dam project?
The custard dam.
The custard dam.
The custard beavers are waiting.
Because I have got a literal truck for full of pre-rewilded British beavers.
They've been pre-wilded.
And I also,
they're still in their eggs. At least that's what the salesman's told you.
Still in their eggs. And bearing in mind that you've already said yes to the free crumble every day, every school.
Owing to a translation error.
Yeah. You're now putting my hand because you're going to need that custard. Try eating that stuff without custard, mate, and then see how the national morale of your nation is.
You're not going to get through it.
You're not going to get through it.
Not three times a day. Yeah.
So I think we are going to build a custard dam, thanks to the investment. So, yeah, that shows how it works.
Incredible
stuff.
Incredible how he managed to do that. Okay, yeah. I'm going to ask for an answer then. So, Mike, Henry, have you written an answer down?
My current answer I was thinking of going with is an honest one, which is I don't know.
Okay, it's fine. So, Mike, what's your answer?
No, wait. Before Mike tells you, let me think of one anyway. So, hang on, feel it. You can feel these things sometimes. So, Doc.
Yeah, go with your gut.
It's annoying. It's annoying that Robert didn't put Doc as the guest ball one, because that's the one that sort of breaks the the form of them.
Yeah. Doc, Sleepy, Dopey, Grumpy, Happy, Sneezy, and Henry.
French. Sleepy, Dopey,
Grumpy, hey, Frenchy.
Happy. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Hang on. Sleepy, Dopey, Grumpy, Happy, Sneezy. Oh, for God's sake. Mike, do you actually know the answer?
I think I do, yeah.
Angry.
Okay, Henry goes for angry. Mike?
No, Grumpy. It's not
bashful.
Oh, it is bashful.
Idiot. You idiot. I don't know who I'm talking to. It's either Mike, bashful, Ben, or me. By the way, I like the way in your Pub of Doom, you've got this nice feature that is all the works of art are sort of the most shameful moments from my own past. as depicted by
David Hockney.
By David Hockney. Yeah.
Okay, this one's hard.
Okay.
All right.
In football, the scoreboard, this is from Craig from Bannockburn.
Nice one, Craig.
Thanks, Craig.
From the battlefield.
Yeah.
In football, the scoreboard will show the first three letters of each team, i.e. England is ENG and France would be FRA.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice.
Which two teams would need to play each other for the three letters of each team to spell the country name of the first country?
Which two
and
teams?
And letters not used would spell the name of the second team.
Oh, right.
So the first three letters of each country add up to the first country's whole name.
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
And the letters that aren't used put together make the other country's name.
That bit I'm going to ignore.
Yeah, that's maybe not that just helpful.
Too much.
Yeah.
My current technique is I've written the word France down and I'm just staring at it. Give up your secrets.
I can maybe give you a clue, which is that both of these teams are European teams.
That
helps, I think. Mm-hmm. Also, I'm really aware that I think editing this episode, I might have to edit out some fairly long moments of silence. Yeah, but I think that's okay.
Yeah. And yeah.
But it might make it seem in the final episode that you're coming out with these answers almost immediately.
Henry gets his wrong answer. He gets his answers wrong, but so quickly. You've got to give it to him. Okay. But are they spelt in their home language?
Oh my God. They're actually not. This is in English.
They're spelt in English. Okay, fine. That's good to know.
It's a good question there.
Yeah, it's a great question. I'm going to give you a clue.
But
I think
power. It's not about getting the answer right. I'm creating vibes around it. Yeah. People are sharing information. And think of the amount of people that Custer Dam's going to employ as well. That's the thing that...
Just to look after the beavers.
Oh, my God.
This is
so I'm going to say something which I think might be self-evident, but it might help you, but you probably have realized this already. But it might, if I haven't explained it very well, it might help. The country is a country with six letters.
Yeah. Come on, mate. I'd already worked that out. Might not have done. Thanks very much. I've got it.
Have you?
Okay.
Can I just go for it and say it?
Because Mike can also get this right. Mike can also get this right.
But speed.
But speed.
But speed. There's only a narrow window where we can build this custard dam. You can't just hang around. The contracts are ready to sign.
Yeah.
So, Mike, I'm going to ask, I'm going to hurry you.
Yeah, I don't have it.
Okay. Are you happy for me to press on?
Yeah, go for it. I mean,
so, Henry, what's the answer?
It's Sweden v. Denmark.
It is Sweden v. Denmark, because it would be SWE versus DEN, Sweden.
V. Denmark. And all these spare words in Denmark. Hang on. What was it I was supposed to do with the spare letters in Denmark?
Well, the spare letters would be Den from the end of Sweden and Mark from the end of Denmark.
Very good.
Denmark.
Yes. I was looking for
but that's
two
always
six
the case.
Letters.
That's just logical. If you take the first letters of a word away from it and then add it to the remaining letters, you'll get the word.
No.
No, I was looking for two six letters. Well done, well placed, beautiful work.
Yeah, Mike, why were you looking for two six letters?
Because I thought that the second part had to also be like a six letter word. It had to completely, but you didn't say that at all.
And I think,
made that up.
No, maybe I said that.
Don't think so. Okay. I think you were perfectly clear.
Okay.
Well, lovely stuff, Henry. Mike, well, can I say, just if you're feeling a bit sad about it, I have ordered you a fish and chips.
Thank you.
Its way over
I
now.
I wanted to get that one more than I wanted to get the previous one.
Interesting.
See, I think the previous one I felt as the sort of kind of low rent sort of crap that you'd get. But this one, this one felt...
Mike, I've got some more bad news for you.
I love a map. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Go on.
The fish and chips is just coming on its way over, and you'll notice that it is actually a bucket of live eels with a potato in it.
Which is how I take it.
And that's soft power, knowing that. Knowing how someone takes their fish and chips. Okay, this is from Will in Innsbruck.
Oh, nice. Thanks, Will.
Innsbruck. Where's Innsbruck again?
Austria, I think.
Yeah.
Cool.
On the 9th of May, 1386, the Treaty of Windsor was signed between England and which other country? The treaty is the oldest diplomatic alliance in Europe and is still running.
Say again, 9th of May, 1386.
On the 9th of May, 1386, the Treaty of Windsor was signed between England and which other country? The treaty is the oldest diplomatic alliance in Europe and is still running.
1386.
Get into that 1386 mindset.
I've got so much. I've just got so many facts and figures about this period. I know it's hard to see through. You know, it's hard to get wood from the trees in terms of... We've got too much data here.
Yeah.
It's so vivid. I mean, I can almost smell the air, the 1386 air.
Well, who's on the throne, Henry?
Well, exactly, Mike. That's the question in 1386. Because who is on... I mean, there's who's on the throne, but who's actually on the throne? And also, who's on the throne? You know what I mean? Who's on the throne? Whose throne is it? Is it their throne? Or are they just borrowing it? So it's a treaty between
England and who?
England and who? And it's still going, this treaty.
Yeah.
The Treaty of Windsor. Does that mean England has always been at peace with that country since, necessarily?
Yeah.
It does. Okay. That's a bit of a clue.
And the king was Richard II of England. Right, I'm going to push you for an answer.
Right, yeah. I've got no idea, but...
Okay. Henry, what's your answer, Henry?
Norway.
Norway. Okay. And Mike?
I went for Belgium.
Oh, I thought about Belgium.
I'm fairly sure Belgium didn't exist in 1306.
Only. Mike, that's a little clue that you haven't got the answer right from Ben.
Felt like it, didn't it?
I might be wrong.
No, it sounds plausible.
Because I was thinking...
I mean, of course, the idea of Belgium's always been there.
Oh, yeah, of course, it's pre-human, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a theory that the idea of Belgium caused the Big Bang. And that we're in a state of... You know, the universe is always gravitating either towards or away from Belgium. So, yeah. Because we've now arrived...
We're hurtling towards Belgium, aren't we?
Yeah. The idea of Belgium is constantly expanding, isn't it?
Constantly expanding.
Yeah.
Anyway, the answer is Portugal.
Is it?
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Expand on that, Henry.
Have we not been at war with? We're obviously at war with Spain loads. Have we not been at war with Portugal?
I think because Spain's been the biggie. I think right. Portugal's their little friend, or not friend, their little enemy on their flank that we are friends with.
Okay. Because I was going to say Holland, but then I thought we've fought Holland loads in colonial sort of wars around the world and stuff. But Belgium, what was it? Oh, it was Portugal. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Portugal? Fuck you. This is why towards the end of a dinner, I got great soft power until around sort of like...
Until you meet the Portuguese ambassador.
Yeah.
And they don't need your custard. They've got their own way of deploying custard. They've nailed it.
They've got superb...
They do great stuff with custard.
Custard tarts.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Okay, very good question. Thank you, Will in Innsbruck. Okay, this one is a name the year. So I'm going to tell you things that happened in this year and just name the year. Okay?
Okay.
First thing, Madeleine Albright becomes the first female Secretary of State of the USA.
Okay.
The DVD format is launched. Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone is published, the book.
Oh, very good.
Ooh.
The first episode of South Park is aired.
Oh, mama.
The film Titanic premiered.
What the frick?
And that's all in one year. What's the year, baby?
Oh,
so I'll go over those again. Madeleine Albright becomes the Secretary of State.
Very good question. Very good question.
DVD comes out. The first Harry Potter book is published. The first episode of South Park is aired.
Oh.
And Titanic is released.
So I remember reading the Harry Potter first book, so I can place myself.
Yeah.
I read that in my gross flat of doom in Baron's Court that I've talked about quite a few times.
Okay.
So I can place, hang on, is that helping me? Yeah, it can't have been before then or after. No, it can't have been after then. It can't have been before then. No, it can't have been after then. Because it was first published.
Oh, well, what about when it was second published? When they changed the cover.
You can't have read it before it was published.
I can't have read it before it was published.
Yeah.
So
unless you are yourself a wizard, Henry.
I'm going to be arrogant here. I have a relatively high degree of confidence on this one.
Shit.
Okay, it's the hubris bell. Let's ring it.
Real ring the hubris bell.
That's because he's just downed a bucket of eels. He always feels full of himself.
Yeah.
So Mike's got it. Henry, do you have an answer?
No, of course not. Give me a sec though, please. So I'm going to work out. So that, when did I live in that flat? So I was in class. Oh, no. I'm remembering people. I was in Glasgow when people were queuing for something. Was it the Harry Potter book or was it the first...
Lasagna.
Was it the first portable lasagna? Which was Steve Jobs' first idea. Was it before the iPhone? He thought if everyone could have a handheld lasagna.
But it's too hard to keep hot.
It's too hard to keep hot.
Yeah, so you needed a room temperature invention instead.
That's
of
from, yeah. South Park. Yeah. Okay. I've got a guess.
Okay. Good. So what's your guess, Henry?
My guess is 2001.
And your guess, Mike?
I think it's the year before I went to university. I think it was 1997.
No, it's not as early as that. Sure. I don't think it is. Harry Potter! Harry Potter! It can't be, because 97 is Blair. It's
Madeleine Albright.
It's South Park.
DVD format being launched.
It's Titanic. Oh, DVD format. Did you say that?
Yeah.
Yeah, twice.
Oh, 2001 feels a bit late for that, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The answer is...
Wow.
1997.
Oh, fudge. Well done, Mike.
I was helped by the timing of my life there, because I think you're aware of what's, you know, what's up and running when you go to university, what's up and running already, what's not. Do you know what I mean?
Also, yes. I made the mistake of confusing things that happen don't just happen in the first year that they happen.
Yes.
They happen
all the first year you hear about them.
Exactly.
You operate on the solipsism calendar, don't you?
So I became aware of Harry Potter like 5 years after it first was released. And obviously people weren't queuing for it when it was first released, because it was just, I'm assuming it took some time to get massive.
Because last year, Henry, you were telling me about that hot new book, A Tale of Two Cities, weren't you?
That's right. Just got some really, really fresh takes on the French Revolution, which also happened last year. When I listened to a podcast about it on the rest of history.
This question is from Tom.
Oh, Tom, thank you.
Only one British Prime Minister has a language other than English as their first language.
Only one British Prime Minister?
Yeah, has had a first language that isn't English.
Yeah.
Who are they and what language was their first language? And it's not Blair and his first language being spin.
Very good. And it's not Boris Johnson and his first language being lies.
I think someone's told me about this before.
I
think a mutual friend of ours.
Can I say, if that's the case, then it's not fair, and therefore you don't get the points, because Mike only knows because he was told it by someone. Your information has to come straight from the source. Otherwise it doesn't count.
Okay, so Mike has an answer, Henry?
I think I'm just going to hold my hands up and say, look, the fact is, Tajikistani schools are full of people eating rhubarb crumble. It's covered in hot custard. The beavers are happy. Yeah. My work is done.
Sign over the minerals.
For the love of God, give me some mineral rights.
Okay, if you don't know, we'll go ahead with Mike's answer.
I don't know.
I'm a bit worried about it. I'm going to say Lloyd George.
It is David Lloyd George.
Yeah.
His first language as well.
Come a chameleon.
That was chosen on the Lloyd thing. But that was right, was it? Okay, yeah, fine, good.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah, well done. In what year, this is from Dab Hand.
Dab Hand, thank you.
In what year did the UK's population exceed that of France? Was it 2025?
Yeah.
2002 or 1990? So, in which year did the UK's population exceed that of France? Is it A, 2025, B, 2002, C, 1990?
I've put a guess. I don't know the answer.
I've got no idea, but I've got a guess.
Okay, Henry, what's your guess?
1990.
1990, Mike, what's your guess?
I've also put 1990.
The answer is 2025.
Is it really?
Happened in January.
So it's not channel related.
So who's closer? I meant late 1990. Thank you very much. I'll take the points. Can I say,
Mike,
that?
Do you think that the channel meant that people were migrating through the channel to Britain?
I thought there must be some sort of there's an incline or something like that, and people were sort of sliding from Kent into France or something. Yeah. Over time, yeah.
Okay, so the points, no one gets the points there, unfortunately.
Can we just do a little thing for me? Just thinking about when the final tables come out and stuff, just for like mental health and stuff, whether we could both get 1 point each, just so I've got some more stuff on the board. Thank you.
Well, I just for like turning up.
Just so I've got a point on the board.
Well, I don't know, but you've argued a case why you should get it. You said you meant late.
No, but I just think we should get 1 point each, maybe. Rather
but
than
I think I would have spent most of 1990 further west than you.
Great so thinking.
Therefore, my year would have started later. Therefore, my answer is later.
Yeah, for Mike, 1990 was a later sort of state.
Later time in general.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the Earth goes left.
As you look at it, yeah.
As you look at it. All right, fine, come on.
Okay, this next one is an audio round. Okay, so this is from Kirsty from Rockhampton in Australia.
Nice, thanks, Kirsty.
She says, I like quizzing people on weird animal sounds.
Ooh.
So I'm going to play the sound, and then I'm going to ask you what animal makes that sound.
Yeah.
This is quite a specific animal, but if you get kind of the category of animal, I'll give you a point. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So here we go.
Well, that's alerted Pam.
Very good. So Mike, that's cheating. Mike can tell from Pam's exact reaction what kind of animal it is, how she's salivating, what kind of attack formation she's in.
Go and kill me one and bring it to me.
Oh, that was so sweet. I like that.
Pam's face is giving me custard beaver.
Go.
Yeah, okay. I've got a guess. I'm going to go with my first instincts.
Are you?
What I'm going to say as a clue is it's kind of not what you think it is. It's probably not what you think it is. I know that's not a helpful thing to say necessarily, but...
Okay.
Henry, what's your answer?
My answer is...
Yeah?
Bat.
Bat. Okay.
That's my guess.
And Mike, you've gone for...
Spitting puff adder.
Spitting puff adder.
Nice.
So, who's closest?
Is it a spitting puff bat?
So both of you are wrong. I'd like to give a point to who's closest, but neither of you are in the right sort of cul-de-sac of...
Or should we have another go then, maybe? Do you want to do that?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Why not? Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Maybe play it again?
Let's play it again.
Can we play it again?
Mm-hmm. Let's hear it.
Yep.
Ready, Pam? So I think what we learned from the last round is that it's neither a mammal nor a reptile.
So it's some form of quartz. It's a vibrating
soup.
Cave quartz.
Australian
What else is there? Because, I mean, it sounds like a toy, doesn't it? It sounds like a, which isn't a form of animal.
Squidgy toy.
It sounds like a squidgy toy. So it's not a mammal or a reptile. So that leaves crabs.
Okay. I've got a second answer.
Mega crabs.
Marsupial crabs.
I've got a guess.
Yeah. So Henry, what's your guess?
Toad.
Nice. I like that.
Okay. Mike?
Cricket.
The answer is it's a desert frog. So the points go to Henry.
Oh, well done, Henry.
You know what? I actually wrote frog for my first guess.
This
is extraordinary, but I've written it down. Look, extraordinary.
Yeah, but for the instincts.
It's the desert rain frog, a fantastic looking animal.
That's the sound it makes when you attach it to a set of bicycle handlebars. Yeah.
This is from Andy.
Yeah, thanks, Andy.
Who are the five best-selling music artists worldwide who are not from the UK or USA?
Oh, that's quite good.
So when you put down five, and then we'll see how many you get.
Oh, God.
Is Forbert Canadian? That's a cheeky one, isn't it? Everyone assumes Forbert's American. He's one of those.
Mine would be horrifically Anglo-centric.
So, because people think Springsteen, Forbert, and the big Americans, but actually he's one of those ones. Yeah. Rolling Stones, Forbert. So the top five recording artists of all time, who are not from the UK or
US.
Oh my God!
I'll give you a clue. It's not like some Brazilian boy band you've not heard of.
Okay,
these are people you will have heard of.
With the best will in the world, I don't think Johnny Halliday's up there, is he? I'd love it. I'd love it if he was. He's the French.
The French Elvis.
The French Elvis. But can I ask, or as a clue thing help, maybe, can you say how many of them are bands and how many are individuals, if that's just to make it
clear? Yeah, that's a good question. Right. Although, actually, no, I'm not going to tell you.
You just remembered you were, but this is Bonjo's, this isn't a Wetherspoons. This is Bonjo's Pub of Doom.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah. This isn't Bonjo's Pub of Helpfulness.
No.
So there's a mixture.
Okay. Can I ask this as a question? Do you think we've heard of all five?
Yeah. So of the five, I could hum you a song by four of them, and then there's one of them who I've heard of them, but I couldn't tell you a song by them.
So this is of all time. Recording artists.
You haven't even got your head around that bit yet.
So not restaurateurs. Okay. I've got it.
Okay, great.
I don't think I've got them right.
Mike, reveal your five.
I've gone for Shakira. I've gone for Ravi Shankar.
I've gone
for Kylie Minogue.
Damn you.
For a modern twist, I've gone for Blackpink, just in case that K-pop band has gone. K-pop band. Massive.
Great idea.
I, out of respect for through Kylie, I did put Jason Donovan, but crossed him out and put Edith Piaf.
Okay, and then let's hear Henry's, and then I'll give you the answers.
So I've gone for Celine Dion.
Nice. Okay.
You too.
Okay.
So if I've got that right. This one I think is total bollocks. I don't know why I put this in excess. There's no way that they're that big. Michael Bublé.
Okay.
And Julio Iglesias.
Okay, lovely list from both of you. I will now read out the real five. Yeah. The first one, Rihanna.
Is she Canadian?
Jamaican.
Oh,
Barbadian, is it? Somewhere like that.
Okay. Yeah,
somewhere
good one.
Somewhere in the Caribbean.
Yeah.
AC/DC.
Dutch, of course.
They're Australian.
Oh, shit. Okay, very good.
Then the one that I know them, but I couldn't name a song. Drake, who I think is a Canadian
rapper. The rapper, yeah. He's got a famous beef.
Canadian, of course. I knew the Canadian. Yeah.
Fourth, Celine Dion.
I knew Canada was going to be huge here. Thank you, Celine. With all that.
Come on,
and of course, it's a toss-up now between In Excess and Iglesias now, isn't it?
Come on, Ravi.
And then fifth place, we're back to Canada. It's Justin Bieber.
Oh, Bieber.
Okay, not even close.
Did Mike get any right?
No, nul point.
Well, I've got the big list in front of me. Okay. So I think Kylie's a terrible shout because I don't think she ever made it in America.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
She's probably just UK and Australia. Okay. So she's not on even on my big list, I'm afraid. Who else? Okay. I don't think In Excess will be on there as well.
Iglesias?
Let's see. Okay, so...
I think Bublé. Shakira, Ravi Shankar? Come on. Okay,
Shakira. Shakira must be up there.
Let's take this one by one. Okay. Let's look at Shakira. So yes, Shakira, she's from Colombia and she's sold 114 million records. So she's up there. Yeah, she's up there. What In Excess are not on the list.
Okay. So they didn't sell In Excess, ironically, of enough copies of the albums to make
Edith Piaf. Shankar is not on the list.
Edith Piaf.
Piaf is not on the list.
She basically existed in a sort of pre-selling albums era.
Yeah, PF's a mad choice. When you've got people like Bob Marley. You know what I mean? Enya.
It's true, you don't see as many Edith Piaf t-shirts, do you? Enya, bloody... Where's Enya from? Ireland, is she?
Ireland.
Is U2 not up there? Are U2 not Ireland? Who was that?
So U2 are definitely up there, but they're not in the top five. In fact, the next one after Bieber would have been U2.
Really?
I'm amazing. Yeah, Bieber's bigger than U2, bloody hell.
And Julio Iglesias would have been... Seventh on our list.
No, I'm not quite close then. That's not bad. How many has he sold?
51.5 million.
And again, I couldn't tell you a single song he's ever done, but I know he's massive.
I was surprised that ABBA wasn't up there. That was mine that I was surprised by.
I would have, if I'd thought of them, I would have put them in. What about Bublé?
Bublé.
Bublé sold a lot.
Where's Bublé from?
He's Canadian, I think.
Is he?
He is Canadian. He's not on my list, so.
And Dion, what's she, where is she and how high is she?
So Celine has sold 148 million records.
Blimey.
More than the Rolling Stones.
Good Lord.
And again, I don't know. I don't know that many of them. But who is top?
Rihanna.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. You know, the other one I thought of putting down, which I think would have been rubbish, was Demis Roussos. Nice. I have a real soft spot for.
Yeah. I'd have liked to sing.
He's probably not up there, is he? Yeah.
Okay. This is from Lucy.
Hello, Lucy. Thank you.
What links these three songs? My Generation by The Who.
Yeah.
Changes by David Bowie.
Yeah.
And My Sharona by The Knack. What links these three songs? My Generation by The Who, Changes by David Bowie, and My Sharona by The Knack.
While you're thinking about that one, I'll just let you know one of the mega hard ones someone sent in.
Yeah.
So Scott from Austin thought maybe one of you'd have a go at which New York Mets baseball player supposedly got his nickname because of the way he pronounced the word milk as a child?
Irvin Mulk.
Mike, what's your answer?
Joey Creamy.
It's Mookie Wilson. Come on, Scott from Austin. Who do you think we are?
Oh, my God. Good question, though.
Do you want a clue for this one?
But basically, I've got the beginnings of an answer, sort of.
Okay. I won't give you a clue then.
But I've got some answer options. I was going to plump for. Neither of which I think are right, but I'm going to...
Shall I guess?
Yeah, go for it.
So what's your guess, Henry?
Well, my guess is just that they all... Do all of them use a sort of deliberate stutter effect in the lyrics where they go repeat the first syllable of a word repeatedly before finishing the word off?
Okay, and Mike, what's your answer?
That's quite good. I was going to say they had the same bass player.
So Henry's correct. They all feature stuttering.
Yeah.
Sharona. But I only knew that for a fact about My Generation and Changes. And I kind of, is that what happens in
My Sharona?
My Sharona.
Yeah. So with that, Henry pulls ahead.
What? Talking about my generation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Okay. It's a good question.
Henry's on 4, Mike's on 3.
Oh, unheard of.
Another music question.
Yeah. I'll just wrap it up. I mean, could wrap it up. We've all had a good time. I've had a good time.
Okay, I want you to name a number one single.
Yeah.
And these things are true about it. It does not contain its own title in its lyrics.
Oh, nice.
But it does contain the title of the song that replaced it at number one.
Oh, wow.
Name both songs. I don't think I'd get... I think this is very, very hard, but
it's a tremendous question. Who's this from?
And this is from Jamie. Thank you, Jamie.
I love Jamie.
Is this one where you could help us out with maybe giving us a sort of rough era?
Yeah, I could do that. It's the 70s.
Okay.
I could maybe give you a year.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah.
Right. So I think it's 1975. Also, I can give you another fact about this song that I think is correct. I think it's been at number one twice in different decades. There aren't many number ones that have gone back to number one.
No. I know one of them, but which isn't this. Oh, no, maybe it didn't go with number one. Was it Running Up That Hill by Kate Bush?
I think that did go back to number one. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But it's not. That's too early for this, isn't it? 75. I'm starting to feel a couple of things. One of them, I'm starting to feel a bit tired.
Yeah.
Mm. And secondly, I'm starting to feel my attitude to these facts is now becoming more like, oh, I'd like to know that. Can you just tell me that? And we could just turn this into a conversation rather than weirdly gamifying this. What could have been quite a nice chat.
I'm going to give you a big clue.
Okay, big clue.
So the person who wrote the song
yeah.
described their vision for the song They wanted to have the scale of opera, the pathos of Greek tragedy, the wit of Shakespeare, and the unbridled joy of musical theatre.
So it's Cher.
Are you trying to,
reverse engineer the song?
If I can compose this song
using those data points, but with a 70s sensibility, what was going on politically in 77?
Here comes the magic man. Here comes the magic. And if I don't get the answer right, I may compose
something that would have been really successful 50 years ago.
Donkeys, people and cheese. What's that song? Monkeys, donkeys and goats, all running round in a little funny boat. What's that song?
It shares Gypsies, Tramps and Thieves.
Yeah, it's not that, is it?
No.
Okay, hang on. So hang on, I'm having the beginnings of a thought. Hang on. So, and the name, so in the lyrics is the name of the next song. So what was big at the time that would be big enough concept that you might name a song after it and you might just talk about it in a song?
Fishing rights.
What's it? Fishing rights.
Yeah. I'm going to give you another clue. Yeah. North Sea Oil.
It went back to number one in 1991 for a reason.
Football related.
6 years before Madeleine Albright took her position.
So Madeleine, what were you doing at the time?
What was Madeleine doing?
Madeline, were you playing accordion in a touring band?
Oh my
What's
God.
The sporting event of 91?
But it's not a World Cup or a they're all or Euros because they're on even
Is
numbers.
Are Olympics on odd numbers? Or
no, Olympics are even numbers, I think. Are they? I don't know.
So it wasn't to do with sport.
First Gulf War?
Well, we all remember the songs that came along with that.
All I remember about the first Gulf War was there are various songs you couldn't play on the radio, one of which was anything by Massive Attack.
Oh, was
because
it?
The concept of a massive attack was too triggering during a time of war.
That doesn't feel like it belongs in 1991 at all.
No.
Yeah, unless I've got that completely wrong. Maybe they weren't around in the first, maybe that was the second Gulf War. Anyway. So the name of the song is in the lyrics of the first.
Oh God!
Yeah. I think that you need to. I'm giving you so many clues about this song. Okay. It was first number one in 1975. It was
75.
Again number one. Why would something go back to number one?
Christmas. No, it's a Christmas hit.
No,
because
it's an Easter hit.
Artist. No, because the artist dies.
Hello, Queen. It's Queen.
Scaramouche, Scaramouche, Scaramouche.
Who had a single called Scaramouche?
Can you do the Fandango? No. So I'm looking for... Is it the first or the second song we're trying to get?
So you know the first song now, I think.
Wait,
it's Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen.
Okay. Mama!
Mamma Mia. Mamma Mia. No.
Mamma Mia.
Mamma Mia.
Yes. By ABBA.
Who got that?
Yeah, no one's getting any points.
What?
Because you thought of Mia after I said Mama.
Yeah. I closed it down. Thanks for the assist. Yeah, I punted it into top bins.
I think, to be fair, Mike actually does get the point there. So
what?
It's 4-4.
Yes.
Coming into the final question.
This is but he doesn't say Mama Mia. He goes, Mama, just killed a man.
Mamma mia, mamma mia, mamma mia, let me go.
Beelzebub has a devil put aside for me.
That's really cruel on me. I feel I did 95% of the work. Basically, I got to nearly the top of Everest. I then died, and then it turned out Mike was in my rucksack.
No one forgets. No one forgets the guy who felt his rucksack was a bit lumpy. No one remembers that guy.
No one remembers that guy.
The guy who was in the rucksack. Yeah.
Okay, so we're at 4-4.
Okay, 4-4. Yeah. Decider.
Now, this final question has been sent in by, I don't know how to say this name, actually. P-E-I-T-A. Pater, maybe?
Could be, yeah.
Pieta?
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks
Pieta,
for that.
Pieta, I reckon.
Oh, yeah, maybe Pieta. Pieta. Well, thank you for sending this one. So they write, in a former life, I used to host trivia nights. Hmm. I would like to direct your attention to the beloved but now defunct Australian game show Sale of the Century.
Don't know it. Yeah.
Heard of it.
On Turn of the Century, there's a Who Am I round where the facts about a person or group or thing or place are slowly drip-fed to the contestants until one of them guesses who the clues were revealing.
Yeah, okay, nice, yeah.
So I'm going to one by one give you facts about this person.
Okay.
And then as soon as one of you thinks you know who it might be, the first one to get it.
Should we just shout it out, do we?
Yeah.
I think it's got to be a shout-out system, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Okay. So, I was born in 1948 in Cambridge, UK. Any guesses?
Do we get penalised for wrong guesses?
No.
Nick Drake.
David Bowie.
Okay, both incorrect. My father was an MI5 officer who worked on the project that took Rudolf Hess into custody during World War II.
Rory Stewart.
Great guess.
So I'm just thinking, if you're born in 48, how old are you now? You're 70.
No, he's younger than that, isn't he?
Don't know.
In 1954, my father took a job as a professor of German at the University of Melbourne, so we emigrated to Australia.
The man who plays Lou Carpenter in Neighbours.
Tom Oliver.
Jermaine Greer.
No. After winning a trip to the UK in a talent contest, I recorded my first single, Till You Say You'll Be Mine, in Britain in 1966.
Barry Humphries.
In 1971, I got my first international hit with a cover of Bob Dylan's song, If Not For You. In 1974, I represented Britain in the Eurovision Song Contest, where I finished fourth.
Cheryl Baker.
Sonia. I can't think who's in the 70s. We've leapt into the 90s.
I then moved to the US, where I enjoyed success in the pop, country, and adult contemporary charts. In 1977, my greatest hits album was released and went platinum.
Dolly Parton.
Crazy.
In 1979, I was appointed Officer of the Order of the British Empire. My career soared when I starred in the biggest box office hit of 1978.
So that's a film, is it?
Yeah. The soundtrack for the film spent 12 weeks at number one, and I performed one of the Oscar-nominated songs at the 1979 Academy Awards.
Julie Andrews. Liza Minnelli.
Barbara Streisand.
So what was the last clue, Ben? I didn't actually hear that. Sorry, what was it?
The soundtrack for this film spent 12 weeks at number one, and I performed one of the Oscar-nominated songs at the 1979 Academy Awards. There's only two clues left.
Cher. It's nice if you're not Cher, is it?
No. But this is the one that I think might clinch it.
Yeah.
In 1981, get ready.
Yeah.
I released my most successful album, Physical.
Oh.
Jane Fonda. Olivia Newton-John.
Correct.
Well done.
Henry is today's
Let's
winner.
Let's get physical. Physical.
Physical.
I want to hear your body talk. Body talk.
Well done, Henry.
Well done, Henry.
Oh. Thanks, guys.
So with 5 points to 4, Henry wins today's pub quiz at the Bon Jo's Pub of Pain.
What happens to me? Do I get incorporated into the bars next? What happens to me?
Well, I get to leave.
Yeah.
isn't it? So, Mike, see you in a month.
And in the meanwhile, Mike, please come up with 10 countries with 4-letter names.
Ooh, I like this. Is that a real thing?
That was one of the questions we could have had.
Oh, yeah. That sounds good. I like that. Cuba.
Well, tell you what, there's plenty of questions left in the bank. And
Iran.
If people listen,
Iran
is one. If people are listening and want to send in more pub quiz questions, please do, because I think we can return probably to the Pub of Pain.
Mali.
And if you could email, please put the words pub quiz in the subject title, please. What did you say, Mike?
Mali.
Spam. that was great fun.
That was good.
Yeah, that was
well
really
done.
Good.
Yeah, well done. Yeah, well done, both of you.
Thank you very much.
And see you next time back at the House of Pain.
Yeah. Cheerio.
Can't wait.
Bye.
Cheers. Bye.
You find yourself out walking in the rain. The wind is howling like a runaway train. A voice calls out, a raspy refrain. Answer my riddles or ye will go insane. Ahead on the path is a dark domain. A man stands in front dressed in rags and chains. He says, come inside and I'll ruin your brain. Welcome to Bon Jo's House of Pain.